Speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Time is important in Switzerland. And the reputation for punctuality and things running like clockwork is almost wholly justified. The reputation, to some extent due to a commitment to precision watchmaking, is the result, I understand, of Jean Cavan's banning jewellery in 1541, thereby forcing craftsmen to turn to watchmaking. But though the English are also quite keen on punctuality, though less good at it than the Swiss, they also love their clocks. A while ago, I visited the former home of a man called Charles Paget Wade, an English eccentric and eclectic collector, each room witnessed to some new enthusiasm, from samurai swords and armour right through to fire buckets. But what struck me most were his collection of clocks and timepieces distributed all around the house. This man, it seems, was obsessed with time, but not in the way that you might think. He couldn't bear to hear all the clocks striking at once, and so each clock was set to chime differently, meaning that none of the clocks actually told the correct time. Wade never knew what time it was. He got up when he woke up and went to bed when he was tired. How different to our own angst-ridden age, in which we live by the movement of the watch and the clock. The Christian faith teaches that time itself is a creation of God, who appoints particular moments within his unfolding purposes, and our faith places great emphasis upon knowing, in the sense of being alert to these purposes, what time it is. Nothing makes us more aware of the passing of time than the aging process, what the poet T.S. Eliot gloomily called the cold friction of expiring sense. And we are keen to know how best to live a full life in all circumstances. I once found myself at a school event sitting next to Ranulph Fiennes, the world's greatest living explorer, whose recipe is apparently work with the best people and keep yourself physically fit. But wisdom for life is often found in surprising places. An 8-year-old at the school was overheard telling her 6-year-old brother, "Whatever you do, don't learn to spell the word cat, because as soon as you can spell that, the spellings they give you just get longer and longer." But we need reminding sometimes that Jesus was young. Even in our precocious age, our society would consider Jesus too young for real power. And not only was he young, he didn't even show any of the marks of the rising young man, any of the signs that might have endeared him to his elders. An unemployed, unmarried traveller, his friends were questionable and in some cases downright disreputable. And yet what we hear from Jesus is a distinctive and authentic voice. We know he took young people seriously. Better not to be born than to offend against one of these little ones. You want to know what it's like to live in the kingdom of God? Look at a child. Today, with James' baptism, we are reminded that children are both precious and different. They do not share an agenda or even perhaps a language with adults. It is their presence and difference in our midst that makes us conscious of a need to think differently and not to assume that our way is the right way. Each stage of childhood, a necessary challenge to our assumed authority. From their infant dependence, which speaks to our own vulnerability, to the first tentative questions which challenge our understanding of the world and what it means to be human, we become aware that to bear responsibility for the care and nurture of children is the most significant thing that we can do. But the importance of children, as far as Jesus is concerned, lies in the fact that they are different from us. Their innocence and wonder, their vulnerability, has the power to change the way we handle both others and ourselves. But to become childlike in our response to the world is not to become childish. In this morning's gospel, Jesus challenges the crowds for their childish response to the breaking in of God's kingdom in John and in him. John cast as evil for his distinctive abstinence, and Jesus as a glutton and drunkard for his freedom to celebrate. Wisdom, he says, is vindicated by her deeds. Look at what I teach. Look at what I do. And tell me that it is not goodness. Tell me that it is not godness. It is, he says, that childlike is not to be childish. Those who understand the meaning of the shift in his coming. Things hidden from the wise and intelligent of our world and yet revealed to infants. The invitation of Jesus is not about subjection to power and authority, not about demands and duties, but the illumination of our minds to see beauty, the fulfillment of our desire to seek possibility, and the inspiration of our hearts to love life. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It is this way that James will begin his time, his moment today. Lord of heaven and earth, whose Son came eating and drinking, exposing the rivalry that tears the world apart, may we share his feast and friendship and lay our burdens in his liberating arms. Through Jesus Christ, wisdom's child. Amen.